Greetings, this is James Gillen with Ezhwish Talk Radio. Sorry for the delay, we're having some extreme challenges here trying to get this file up. But anyway, we had a guest that Anthony Sanchez was going to come on the show, and it looks like we can't make it again. So we'll have to reschedule that later on. I've got a wonderful update on it. We were doing a pre-record because we have some major ceremony going on here. So we did a pre-record and talked about the energy, so I don't want to duplicate it, but we are in for some very big energies coming in. You know, today, actually at, I believe, 8:35 Pacific Standard Time, where we have this massive moon, you know, affecting the Earth, and it's really close to the Earth. It's the closest it's been for quite some time. And it's the WESAC, you know, the full moon. You know, the tides are going to be really high, and we're going to cover all this later on in the show. But, you know, the energies and the way they're going to affect us, our own bioelectric fields and magnetic fields around our own bodies are just going to be intense, you know, and phenomenal. So a little heads up, I know a lot of people are being pushed to their limit with these energies, and it's a really good time just to surrender and let go. But, you know, old saying, surrender, let go, let God, you know, because that's all you can do. What I find is that it's very important now to really plug in during these times. You know, walk away from your TV set, get out in nature, and get really clear on where you want to go. Because this is an incredible time to set your intention and figure out where you're going to go. There's so many things happening in the news. I mean, our sun is about ready to go quadrupole. They're expecting that this month. We're having just some pretty crazy events happening in space. You know, we're going to cover that in the show. There's just change happening on other levels. Yeah, you know, I don't have a TV or I don't have a, you know, a news source other than the internet now and then. But, I would imagine that, you know, with Cinco de Mayo and you know, all of these things coming up and you know, there's a big march, you know, that's going on. I would imagine things are going to get a little crazy. So, you know, there's a lot of Occupy movements going on and different types of marches where people are demanding, you know, an end to the enslavement, the dependency, and an end to the separation and the unbridled greed program and all these other things, the massive debt that we've been have had, you know, laid on us. So anyway, from here on out, it's going to get a little crazy. So I would kind of expect chaos. learn to just flow with it. You know, it's a cycle. Whenever there's a change, whenever there's a huge burst of energy, there's going to be chaos. And as the Earth shifts and we shift and society shifts to match these new energies, you know, we go from a huge burst of energy to chaos to back to equilibrium again. So we're in that point now where just a lot of energy is coming in. And you know, people are really having to face, you know, whatever, their unfinished business. And I think it's going to affect you directly related to how much unfinished business you have or how hard you hold on to the unfinished business. You know, it's going to be affected. But hopefully we can get this file over and load it up. It may be locked up. We might have to just go into the one of our other archives. I've got some groups here to do some ceremony. We're going to do some major ceremony. You can join us spiritually if you want and hook into the energies. Let the energies flow through you. You can hook into the vortex here at the ranch and join us and tap into the energy here. But we're going to light things up and get really clear with where we're going and who we are, and it's going to look really good. You know, I think we're going to really set some intention for turning this planet around. welcoming anybody that wants to join us at 8:35. You know, start meditating, get plugged in, and go with the flow. It's quite interesting. We're having people just drawn here out of the blue that are showing up. That are I'm seeing cars coming up the driveway now. So people are following that inner guidance. We always tell people, be sure and call first, because we might have something going on here. We might be gone. The gate might be locked. So, if you want to come up to the ranch, be sure and let us know. So we do have, days where we actually close the gate and we might go off for a little R&R. So it is a ranch. It's basically a private ranch. So unfortunately, we have to run things that way due to the powers that were. But I think they're very close to coming undone. They're actually, getting the karmic backlash now, as we speak. But anyway, hopefully we should be getting this file for today's show downloaded, if you could bear with us for a little while. These are crazy times, especially with technology. There's going to be some crazy events going on. And, with the energies, especially the full moon energies, as well as the sun's energies right now, we're having some extreme challenges, with the technology. But anyway, it looks like we're going to be getting it together here pretty soon, and hopefully in another few minutes we can load up today's show. We might be able to. I don't know if we have any call-ins or not. I'm kind of flying blind right now because I'm on my cell phone trying to get this other technology together. But if there is, we do have any call-ins. If people want to do a quick call-in until we get the file loaded up, we might be able to bring that forward. There's a few other things I wanted to talk about as we get going. Is that to kind of hang in there through these times, because we are being challenged to the max. And I know here at the Vortex, we're the microcosm of the macrocosm. And so things happen here, seem to happen here first. And it's very intense here. And then we watch the rest of the world go through the same pattern, the same process. So, we're trying to hold it down here and set the new consciousness with a new frequency, so the rest of the world can participate in these from these vortexes or these acupuncture points. And this is happening around the world. We're not the only ones doing this. There's people around the world right now that are meditating and focusing on this energy and really affecting the grid, the energy and consciousness grid around the planet. But there's definitely a shift going on. It's undeniable. Can't get away from it. No matter where you go, there you are. Everything's accelerating. And it's a really good time to just shift into full-blown forgiveness mode, and get on with our own life. Because, if we're dragging around others, it's very hard for us to get on with our process. I love a yogi once said to me, a female yogi I knew, she tells a story about a woman that had a mule, and she was just dragging this mule everywhere, and the mule was fodder and fodder, and she never got anywhere with the mule, and finally the mule just raised up and fell over and died, And she grieved, and felt sorry for the mule, and finally she just let it go, and she walked over the hill, and there was a horse waiting for her. So, sometimes we have to quit dragging the mule, and we have to let go of the path and move forward. And when we do so, things just blow wide open. Our lives just expand like crazy. So it's very important not to drag those mules around too long. We don't have the luxury of doing that anymore. And it's time to let go of the path and cross over that hillside look for something better, because it's probably there. It's a major challenge right now, and I know it's we have to face our fears and our lacks, and all of the things that we've created in the past, and to do this. So it is quite a challenge. But hopefully we can get that together and get on with our lives. It looks like we're still having some technical difficulty on getting this show going, so I'm going to hang in there for a little while and take a few more minutes. It's not looking like it's coming together anytime real soon, but the whole process that we have to go through.
This is coming together, and it'll be ready in about 2 or 3 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like we're getting close, so. You know, it's kind of interesting when you have a sequence of events going on, you know, keeping it together and learning to adapt and go with the flow and not get upset, you know, if things aren't going the way you want them to go. You know, maybe they're not supposed to go that way. And just, you have to just kind of go with the flow and adapt and do whatever's necessary in the moment, and you're fine. You know, just as we're doing here, you know, we're adapting. You know, finding other ways, other paths, and other ways of doing things. And, you know, it looks like, you know, as long as we don't try to force things or get frustrated or upset or stay calm, you know, things work out. They always do. But, you know, that's the main thing is to realize that, you know, change is inevitable. Things are not always going to go smoothly. They're not going to go the way we want them to. You know, sometimes our ego has a huge investment in things going a certain way, and sometimes they don't go that way. And we just have to accept that, you know, and move on, and not let it get you down, and not let it, you know, drive you down into the ground, you know, with these challenges. But you know, again, we're all being challenged, you know, to our core. And we're all having to, you know, face our necromancers, our biggest fears, and nobody's alone in this. You know, we're all doing it. You know, so we have some really bad cosmic humor here, you know, sometimes, and you know, people think we're living a life of bliss up here, and we're always meditating and you know, picking flowers and singing Kumbaya and skipping down the road, you know. And we do have some of that here, you know, but we also have our challenges like everybody else. And, you know, the greater light you're generating, sometimes the more it's challenged. And that comes with the territory. So, you know, be aware of that. It's the more energy, the more disturbance you're creating in the pond, you know, the more attention you're going to get. And, you know, pioneers do take the most arrows. So it's just, you know, it's just a program. It's whenever you bring in change and the unknown, you know, those are two of the greatest fears. And so people totally fear change and they fear the unknown and they resist both of them to the max. So getting a lot of resistance, then you're probably over the target. You're probably doing some really good work, you know, because that's what you're here for. It looks like we're getting close. Are we getting close to loading that, Don? All right. Looks like we're ready to go, so enjoy the show, and we're going to start up with the latest file. So have a good evening.
Greetings. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. We've got another great show. Looks like Anthony can't make it again. We are going to still try to get him on the air, but I guess he had some last-minute things on his calendar that he couldn't make it. But Anthony Sanchez was going to, you know, with the UFO Highway, was going to be our guest. But, you know, everything has a reason, so we just go with the flow. There's a few things I wanted to talk about, and that is tonight, you know, if you can take some time tonight to really get clear with who you are, where you're going, what you want to manifest. It's an excellent night for ceremony. We've got this full moon perigee. It's the Wesak moon. I mean, it's like massive. the energy's coming in right now with this full moon. It's very close to the Earth, And, you know, there's going to be some real high tides, and when you get real high tides, you usually have some pretty big earthquakes. That's just the dynamics of how the earth works. So, you know, you get a full moon and real high tides, you're going to have a good chance for a major earthquake between now and in the next few days. The other thing I wanted to talk about, a little heads up with this energy is going to push everything right to the surface. And you cannot, you know, get away from your stuff. You know, no matter how much you really, you know, think, you know, you're clear or whatever. You know, this is for everybody. We were talking about this a while ago. You know, if you really want to play a joke on yourself, just tell yourself you have no issues and I'm perfectly clear. And then, you know, that almost invites the universe to come in and give you the the hammer. So anyway, you know, basically nothing's being hidden. We can't hide anything from ourselves, our higher selves. You know, we can't hide our wounds, our traumas. And, you know, and our beliefs are being shaken to the core and turned upside down. And everything is just being amplified and energized, you know, through this period. So there's no getting away, you know, from these energies. And this is going to be exponential. They're going to keep coming in stronger and stronger and stronger. So we've been giving people a major heads up for May and June, all the way up to June 25th, is just this huge window of opportunity to heal and ascend and go forward and, you know, and really go forward in your own awakening and healing process. So, you know, it's very important to realize that, you know, these times that we're moving into are some going to be some very exciting times, some very challenging times. And, you know, mainly, you know, you've really got to go within and make your own personal God connection, release the past, let go of any trauma, any old wounds and traumas, really bring in the forgiveness in this period. Because if you don't forgive, you are going to be just hit with a mountain of energy that's going to be so hard. There's no way getting away from it. So basically, you know, it is a time to release the past. All the higher beings are saying that. Release the past. Go forward. You know, this is what needs to happen. So basically, that's the deal. You know, right now through these times, there's some major planetary alignments. There's, I believe, on the 20th, we're going to have a major solar eclipse on the 20th, and then I think we've got some Venus and some other planets lining up, and then it just goes on and on. So anyway, you know, a heads up, things are going to be rocking and rolling, and a lot of processes underway. Just be really good to try to, you know, find some quiet time, get out in nature, and just get away, just to get away from the nonsense. And really, we need to focus on our own stuff, you know, and maybe, you know, there's an old saying, you know, there's your business and God's business and nobody's business and you know, and everybody else's business. I can't remember how that goes, but I'm sounding like George Bush right now. But anyway, everybody else's business is God's business. It's not your business. And so it's time to really take care of our own business and go within and stop trying to heal everything on through external processes, because it just doesn't work. It's an internal process that's going on. But anyway, that's the best advice I can give, you know, through these times, is to really focus your energies this time on forgiveness, on releasing the past and letting go, and then creating a different future, creating an abundant future, creating the world that you would like to see. And so if we all focus on creating a world we'd like to see, and really get in touch with our own personal power, you know, we can turn things around on this planet. And so with that segue, I want to bring in Walter Noasad. He's a really good friend, and he's doing all kinds of crazy work out there in the field of higher consciousness and energy, and getting information together and working on some upcoming movies. And he's also on some cutting-edge technology, which I really want to talk about now, the latest technologies that are coming out and where that's going. So without any further ado, I want to bring Walter on the show. Walter, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. I'm honored to be on your show again. James, thank you very much. You had some very kind words for me.
Yeah, I really want to know what's going on with Ralph, Ralph Ring. Just for a little update on that, to let people know that we didn't hear the last show, I guess it was Otis Carr and his group, and Ralph Ring was part of that group, were actually building flying saucers back in the 50s.
True.
And so it was funny because he was right where I was raised as a kid, and we used to drive by their facility there with a big UFO on top and a billboard. And I'd always try to get my mom, let's go there. And she goes, no, those guys are evil. You know, you can't go over there. And I go, what? And I go, I want to see the flying saucer. I want to go, and they would never take me over there. And I guess because the FBI was coming in and all these people were shutting them down and doing everything they could to close them down because they did create a flying vehicle and they did have, fuelless energy technology and a few other things. So anyway, the feds came in and closed them down. It was all in the paper, and they tried to demonize them, and it was a real mess. But anyway, it seems like this is resurfacing. I witnessed the building. I witnessed the craft. Everybody in the town saw these things flying around. It was amazing. And we were all trying to figure out what the heck it was. I mean, nobody could explain some of his journeys. It actually lit up the whole mountains very close to us, and everybody went out there in jeeps, and people thought a big fire was going on and all kinds of things, but there was never anything there. So and it just seems I put two and two together. That was Otis and Ralph out there flying around with their toys, but they flew a lot of their toys around the valley. But just for that opening, I'd love to hear what's new with the Ralph Ring story and anybody else that you've been working with.
Sure. All right. So for those of you who've been following Ralph Ring, you know that he's got a website called BlueStarEnterprise.com. And then I've been following a story. You can find information in videos. I typically try to do videos, every 3 weeks or so. But lately, I haven't done an update video since February because I've been so busy. But I'll give you an update here because this is convenient.
Okay.
But my website, just to get out there real quick, is clandestinedisclosure.com. That's where you can get documents on the craft and what's going through the designer's head. So what's going on today? You have groups of people who have taken the remnants of the data left over from Otis Carr's day and are trying to rebuild the craft. The most prominent progress being made is in Australia. They're constructing a 24-inch prototype based on the drawings and a whole bunch of other stuff. I won't go into a lot of detail on that. You can download that off the website. And they're very close to having a completed prototype. I just talked to the designer yesterday, and he sent me a couple of pictures, which I need to put in a video update that's coming soon. So you can see the parts they've done. They've got the central rotating disc with the capacitor plates and outer utrons installed on that. And the builder assures me that the magnets are close to being completed, and he should be receiving those soon. It's just a few more parts that are left, and they'll have the prototype complete. The builder keeps teasing me that he's going to go ahead and post the video on YouTube after he's promised me, you know who you are, that he's going to let me know in advance so I can fly down there and put cameras on it. So, yeah, I've been following this story since last April. Uh-huh. It's been pretty interesting. But I do want to take this opportunity to let folks know that, it's not a corporation. These aren't people with deep pockets. These are just plain folk like you and me, people who have a passion for this that are putting these things together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
really that's the way it's going to come out, just with some grassroots people that don't have ties to, the international banksters, and they just really have a deep love for humanity and the earth and the technology, in bringing this out. And I know quite a few people that have technology. I mean, they've already built some of this technology, but, they brought it out a little too soon, and their labs are blown up and their families threatened, and it's sitting on the shelf now. And maybe after some of this gets out, somebody just cracks the egg here. It's not too far out when when all these other technologies are just going to flood the market.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a major disclosure here real quick. It's not going to be any kind of organized disclosure. I believe it's going to be naturally through, you know, shows like what, like with Thrive and mm-hmm. you know, with the show that I'm trying to get picked up. I'm in the midst of editing the reel to get it pitched and hopefully picked up this month. We'll see. And you're going to be a part of that. Ralph's a part of it, you know, and a lot of these kind of government whistleblowers, including, you know, Anthony, who was supposed to be on the show tonight. Unfortunately, he couldn't make it for whatever reason. But there's a lot of things that are out there that are going to come out. And I don't think there's anything that the powers that were or be can do about it anymore.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned Thrive because one of the producers was just here. I mean, he just left a couple hours ago. So that was kind of interesting. He came here and saw the ships, had his own experience, and now he knows that all this is real, and he actually got to connect in with the higher beings and have his own contact. So, you know, this is going to be interesting where this goes. But it's amazing. A lot of the people that were involved in Thrive have all been to the ranch, and a lot of them know what's going on, and they know about the ships here and everything. But I can't wait for all of this stuff. We're just right around the corner from a major breakthrough.
Yeah, something's got to happen. I mean, I had a meeting the other day with a guy, and he showed me some stuff. I'm like, all right, you know. He's got concept, but nothing working yet. And that seems to be kind of the way things are going, you know. But we're real close. It seems to be like right on the cusp before something's about to break.
Mm-hmm. And I think something could very well happen, you know, between May and June. And I know before November, all of this stuff is going to be coming out. That's what they've been telling me. The higher beings I've been working with, they've been talking about how the Palladians are taking back the planet. And they were one of the original groups that were the real genesis, you know, groups that were here and brought all their technologies and their biological, they're responsible for actually bringing a lot of the plants and the animal forms and the other things here. So... That major experiment got totally hijacked by lower level beings, you know, that got involved, and now they're actually coming back with some extremely advanced ultra dimensional beings, you know, backing them up, and for once and for all putting an end to the tyranny and putting an end to those who have decided to just totally terrorize the planet and humanity and, you know, enslave them through dependency. So I think that's right around the corner too. So it's going to get really interesting. They told us from May on, you're going to see some demonstrations and some people rising up and awakening and moving forward in every avenue. So it's going to get a little crazy. I think we're going to have some earth changes too during this time period.
Should be interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know what's coming. You know, I don't have the same kind of solid connection that you do with the boys upstairs, what have you. But how's
Ralph doing? I mean, I just, when I had him on the show, I just so connected with him. He's just such a wonderful human being. And you know, they have a very enlightened approach to life, you know, beyond the technology. I just... really hope he's doing well and everything is working going forward for him.
Yeah, I just saw him and Marcia a couple days ago. I had to go back there to shoot some pickup footage because we didn't quite have what we needed for the reel. Ralph and Marcia both have very big hearts. You know, they're in the right place. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. So, you know, they're doing pretty good. You know, they're both getting on an age, you know.
Yeah.
You know how it goes when you get on. So,
well, we should all just send them a big cosmic hug. You know, do a little intention experiment for them and you and the whole group and just really pray this stuff moves forward in a very quick way and in a way that's highest and best good for everybody.
Yeah, time will tell. Hey, I met with an old friend of yours, with Anthony, a few nights ago too. Maybe you recall Ed Grimsley.
Yeah.
Ed. We were up until 2:40 in the morning talking, and he just gave me an earful. You know, Ed. He was telling me all this stuff, and it was kind of fun and interesting talking to him. And you know, with his night vision stuff, I guess he built a set of goggles for you, and those must have been the ones we used when I was up there last summer.
Yeah, we got a pair of those military third generation ones, and I've actually hooked them up to a camera now so I can film. And, you know, we've got these ships coming over treetop level, powering up, lighting up the whole sky, and, mm-hmm. you know, 60 witnesses on the ground, and some actually flying, you know, they're actually about half tree level. I mean, they're below the trees, flying right over the conference building, and so we've got some really good footage of these light ships coming in.
How big are they? Are they like orb size, or are they?
No, they're really big. these guys, they whited out the screen. I mean, when they powered up, there wasn't much left in the screen to even look at them. I mean, they're pretty big.
Yeah.
And some of them were the ones that were lower were not that big. The ones that are really down low on treetop level, but the huge motherships that we caught powering up, those guys were just, they're way up there, and they still whited out the screen. So that big, you know, they're that big and that far up. When they light up, it's almost like a little mini sun going off, and you know, everybody gets higher in a kite when they do it. So
yeah, let me ask you. I know when I was out there last year, using lasers and stuff, I guess that was to help locate the ships in the sky, because they were like way up there when I was there.
Yeah.
Now, when you what happens when you strike them with the laser? Does the laser do something funky, or?
You know, it's really funny. What I've noticed is most of these light ships just cruise and they flash back at us and say, "Hey, you know," and it's all cool. But every once in a while, we get a ship coming in that's kind of dark. You know, it doesn't have a lot of light around it. It's more of a metallic craft, and we'll shoot a laser up at it, and they just scram. They get out of there. You know, and they go, crap, they saw us, you know, or something. And those might even be some of our back engineered stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting. The other beings just give us the big high five, and they're all stoked, you know. And then there's some that are really freaked out by it, you know. And I think those are the low-level guys running mm-hmm. around out there.
Yeah. Ed mentioned something. He had observed that if the laser had hit, I didn't quite understand what he was saying. That's why I'm asking. I don't know if it does something with the light or whatever.
Oh, that if it hit the ship or something?
Yeah. If the laser light actually touched the ship, if it did something funky with the laser light.
No.
No.
Not that I know of. I mean, we've been doing it for as long as there's been lasers, you know. Basically, any kind of a decent laser. But, yeah, I've never seen, you know, we had a God, I think it's a 10 million candle light, big old flashlight that I bought, and we took that out, and we were beaming the ships with that, and it was quite interesting. And they were totally responding, you know, and doing a lot of things. But, you know, the only thing I've seen, and I've told this story before, but the only thing I've seen them do is there was two occasions. One, I was kind of half asleep and my whole body was buzzing, and I went outside and I was, you know, relieving myself, going to the bathroom, and this ship just powers up and pops in and shoots a plasma ball right at me, this big plasma type ball of energy coming at me, and I almost peed all over myself. It's like, I swear I could hear them laughing on the ship telepathically. They're just busting up, you know, and then they took off, but it never got to me. It just dissipated. But it was a real wake-up call. And they did it to, you know, we have a pretty strong no drug, no alcohol thing mm-hmm. and here at the ranch. And we do whatever we can. You know, we don't mind if people just have a beer or a glass of wine now and then. But, you know, we don't want to be Nazis, you know, on it. But or health Nazis or whatever you want to call it. But forgive me, any Nazis that are out there listening.
Yeah, right.
You know, basically you know, but this one guy, you know, he was here, and this was a while back, and he thought he'd sneak out and smoke some pot, right? And so he went out there, and he lit up his lit up his little doobie, you know, and as soon as he lit it up, one of these ships appeared and shot one of those plasma balls right at him. I mean, it dissipated. It came right down to him. And, you know, he hit the ground, and he put that thing out, and he threw it somewhere, I don't know where, and took off back in the house. And he goes, "Boy, you got some pretty nasty police here, you know, watching the grounds."
And, well, I think it's probably more a guideline than anything. He'll say, "We recommend that you not, you know."
Yeah. Yeah.
There are reasons.
Yeah. So, you know, and two, you know, you can get really high here on spirit, and you really need a clear mind if you're going to engage this stuff and work with these energies. So, so we have a pretty, you know, we really focus on doing everything in a really natural, spiritual way.
Yeah, you mentioned at the top of the show, you know, you know, getting away and kind of reconnect. You know, I highly recommend that. You know, just, you know, if you could just disconnect from the computer and disconnect from your texting and your telephones and just, you know, go to eSETI or just get into nature for some time and do it with some other connected people. You know, it's, you know, as you and I were mentioning before the show, when you get around other people with gifts or who are connected, it magnifies everybody's capabilities. You know, I kind of came to realize this last week, and I'm like, I'm having these visions. I'm connecting with the, you know, with the energies of Mother Mary, and it's just pried open my heart. Here we go into the woo-woo field, but I can't help it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, I just can't recommend it enough. If you can get to James's ranch and just go there and see it, even if you're a little, you know, critical about whether this exists or not, go check it out for yourself. You know, I did. I was critical. I'm going, sitting on the fence. Is this stuff real or not? And let me tell you, you know, you'll go there and you'll find out real quick. I just recommend when you go, don't be all skeptical. Open your heart, open your mind, open your eyes, and ask yourself some real hard questions. And just be open to it and see what happens within.
Yeah, it is kind of an as you wish experience. You know, if you come in with a bad attitude and you say, "Oh, this is all nonsense and junk, and I don't know why I'm here," and stuff like that. I mean, you can create that reality, and you can actually, you know, the higher beings come by and they scan the area, they scan and see, you know, are these people ready? How close can we come? You know, mm-hmm. Is it worth our time to even involve ourselves? So. When you get a real focused group together here, and they're have really open minds and loving hearts, and you put that energy out, things happen, you know, and amazing things happen. You know, it's funny you mentioned Mary. We had a Buddhist monk here take a beautiful picture of Mary on the website, actually manifesting over one of the self-mastery classes. And she also manifested out in the field, and he got a photograph of Kuan Yin appearing to him as well. As well as some of these feline beings and Kazekiel, the other energies that I have. And we had some other scientists came here with this other technology that films all the different light spectrums going on. And during a counseling session, they filmed it, and they were just blown away when they saw all this golden swirling energy like a little tornado come into the room.
Wow.
And blend with everybody in the room, and everybody's bodies just pixelated out, you know, and lit up. You know, it blew, and I have those things on the, I saved those recordings. And what's interesting, when Mary's, like, this beautiful golden green energy came in with Kazekiel and some the beings from the plane of bliss, or the Andromedans have a beautiful golden green energy. But when Mary comes in the room, the whole room fills up with this beautiful pink energy. And you see everybody's whole bodies just light up with this pink energy. It's just amazing. And then they just get all blissed out. And sometimes you smell roses in the room and nobody's wearing any perfume. But, you know, we have the science to, you know, the video, the pictures, the footage, the witnesses. You know, we have the science to back all this up, as well as the wisdom or the understandings of the multidimensional world we live in. So it's a little different story here. It's not so woo-woo here because, you know, one of the women that was just here is a trained scientist. I mean, she went through the process. She went, "Oh, my God," you know, like when the energy came in, you know, she couldn't deny it. And we've had scientists watching the orbs, you know, when we light them up with the infrared spotlight along with the night vision, and all of a sudden the whole field has these light beams flying all around and flying against the wind and interacting with people and swirling and doing vortexes over the top of people. This is the smartest dust and rain I've ever seen. You know, so
right.
You know, dust and rain do not fly. Against the wind and stop and hover over people and spin around in a vortex. You know, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, when I was at Shasta, we went to Pluto Caves, and you know, down there the dust is really super fine particles, and when that stuff, you know, it kicks up to the air, it looks nothing. I mean, when you're taking pictures, it looks nothing like the orbs do. I mean, it's just smears of brown, you know, dirt that's just been kicked up into the air. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally different.
And it's really good to, you know, I have an open mind, but I also use my mind to find any other thing it could be, or you know, find a rational explanation for these things. And so, you know, I actually piss people off sometimes because, you know, I'll tell them, no, that's this. And they really want it to be a UFO or something, you know. And I'll say, no, you know, it's got dirty light. You know, it's not starlight. That's a man-made craft, you know, that's flying over it. And then it turns out to be one.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you don't feel any energetic signature with these things, and if they're not that brilliant starlight, and, you know, and especially if they have a strobe or a running light on them, mm-hmm. you just those three things, it's probably definitely a UFO. But, you know, and another thing a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, late at night when the sun is directly behind the Earth, all that stuff flying overhead is in the Earth's shadow. And satellites can only reflect light. They don't have their own light. So if you see these lights flying over the top of your head and doing all kinds of crazy maneuvers and everything, you know, it's not a satellite, you know.
Yeah, you know.
That's
just
physics, you know.
Yeah, if you think about it, too, it's like, all right, so let's consider that. Because I've seen the ultra-fine points of light way out there. And you're going, that, you know, it's not a meteor. You know, I've seen meteors before. You know, and it's heading off in a direction until it disappears. And you have to wonder, it's like, all right, so is it still within the shadow mm-hmm. of the sun? How far out would it have to be out of the Earth's shadow? And if it were that far out, could you see it?
Yeah, exactly. Also, too, is that, you know, some of these things we see are making turns, you know, they're responding to the people on the ground, you know, and people go, well, that was a radium flare, you know, one of the radium satellites as it's spinning, you know, the solar panels are throwing off a flash. Well, you know, all you have to do is go to Heavens Above or J-Tracker and you'll know exactly where every radium flare is, all the visible satellites. It's very easy, and, you know, you have maybe 1 to 3 visible objects flying over Trout Lake at the time. They'll tell you what's visible. And when you see 50 to 100 objects, you know something's wrong with this picture. You know, there's things flying up there that aren't ours. You know?
Yeah. You know what's kind of crazy is, you know, I've seen a lot of stuff and I've experienced a lot of things on my path, my spiritual journey. And, you know, even though I've experienced it and even though I've seen it, the ego mind still kind of creeps in and goes, is that real? You know what I'm saying? So there's it's like a switch, because when you're in it and you're experiencing it, such as the, you know, the energies from Mother Mary or whomever, you know it's real. Mm-hmm. But when you're out of that moment, there's still a question that comes back when you're in 3D. You know?
Your mind always tries to discount it. Good example, I was standing out in the field. This was when I first got here. This was, I don't know how many years ago. It was quite a few years ago. But this massive triangle ship came flying over, and I mean, it was treetop level. It was just above the trees, and as this thing came over, the mere size of it and everything was just mind-boggling. Flew right over my head, did not make a sound. I mean, not even a chirp or a peep. There was no sound with this thing as it flew over, and I was thinking, how can something that big be up in the air like that and not even be pushing air? and make no sound. I mean, something that big you'd think would be like really growling or humming or doing something, you know? No sound, not a bit. And then the thing phased out right as it passed me. It started making a turn. And as it was phasing out, these red bank of lights on the back of it went bing, 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 and started flashing me. And it just disappeared and phased out. And so after that experience, my mind really had a hard time accepting what I just saw because my ears didn't hear anything. And there was nothing pushing the air or anything. Like, all my other senses were picking up nothing. And my eyes were the only one that saw it. So my brain was just going, what do I do with this? What do I do with this, you know? And that's what happens to people is that if you don't have a full sensory experience and if it doesn't add up, you really see with your brain. Your brain chooses out of all the bits of information, even interdimensional stuff, what's usable for you and what you can use in your reality. So if you don't have the consciousness for it or there's not a way if you have a really weak mind, that event never happened, even though it did. It would be very easy to just discount that event and just move on with your life and just forget about it, you know, it never happened.
Yeah, in the same vein, you know, it's just, you know, the emotion. So let me just kind of throw this at you. You know, being able to sense emotion in an area, you know, feeling the vibration of the land, of the rocks, of the trees, and of the streams and the rivers, to be able to sense love, happiness, destruction, and bliss. When you get that, those are very unique feelings. I mean, going on a journey like I did last week in Mount Shasta, I was taken to some very secret hidden locations by a special guide. And as we traveled, here I am in denial again. Did it happen? You know? And maybe you're just imagining it, but, you know, when I think about it, I have to say no, doggone it, no. Because these were very real emotions and vibrations that were there. And I have to force myself to go, no, this was a very real experience. And it's just interesting the way the mind works and wants to just automatically discount the quote-unquote woo-woo.
Yeah. And it is. It's. But what I'm seeing now is that people from all walks of life are, and even the staunch, you know, left-brain people that have no inner sensitivity whatsoever, are seeing things and observing things and watching planetary events that they cannot wrap their heads around. And when I had these triple PhD Boeing engineers here and the Lockheed Skunk Works people and these ships powered up and, you know, came towards them and then just phased out, they were blown away. And first thing they said is, those aren't ours. They know what we have. They know what we've back engineered. But, you know, and they went on coast to coast and testified, you know, that these are real, you know, that these aren't ours. And so, you know, when you have that caliber of people here, you have to ask yourself, what's wrong with this picture, you know? Why are we still trying to figure out, you know, if these things are real when we should be asking the question, who are they and why are they here?
Yeah, who are they? Now, you've got an open channel to a lot of these guys, don't you?
Yeah, it's been pretty ongoing. I've been, you know, it's just a thought away. All I have to do is think about them and the phone call's made, you know, and they pop in. And what I love doing is helping other people have that same connection, you know, and clearing out the patterns so the people are empowered, you know, to have their own personal connection with these higher dimensional beings. And you know, the last thing I want is people to follow me or worship me or do the guru program.
No, yeah, I hear you. You don't, you know, I know what you're saying. get your own experience, you know, just do it yourself. Yeah, you don't need a leader, and that's kind of my style too. I want to figure out myself. Now, back in 2010, I mean, if you don't mind my sharing, I just took some notes off of a meditation that you did, and being the technician I was, I figured I'd just go through the numbers, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, a checklist. In November 2010, I had my first contact experience where I was standing face-to-face with my star family. And since then, I've been – okay, I'll get personal. I, I had been intensely homesick since then. And on the mountain in Shasta last week, I did have another contact with them, you know, in communication. So for me, it's very few and far between where I have an open communication vis, you know, your experience where you just have to open your mind. For me, it's work.
Yeah.
Trying to get there, but I was very happy to get there because I received a message of reassurance from my family, and it has. I can now talk about it without just falling to pieces, you know,
in this
emotional pain of separation from my family because they're always there.
Yeah, good news is they're not too far away; they're just a thought away, and also too, they're it's just right around the corner where we're going to have some major contact happening. And I mean, it's been going on here for ever since I was a kid, and here at the ranch with, you know, 200 witnesses at a time actually seeing the ships and having their own energetic contacts. But you know, I always wonder, I just think it's hilarious when people go, well, when's contact going to happen? And I told them, I said, you ever been to the pyramids and looked on the walls, you know, or you read the Bible, you know, about the wheels within wheels with flashing lights and the fiery chariots on the River Chebar and all these things, Elijah going up in a fiery chariot, you know, it's like, you know, have you ever read the Vedic scriptures about the Vimanas, you know? I said, we've been contacted, you know, these are our ancestors. This has been going on forever, and it's been going on up here, you know, in your face for at least 15 years solid. You know, it's been going on for me my whole life, but for, you know, having, you know, large groups up here to see the ships, that's been going on for a long time. And so I always, whenever they say, you know, when's contact going to happen, I go, you know, you really bought that program, didn't you? You know, that it's sometime in the future this is going to happen. Or it's far, far away. Or keep your head, neck bent back to the past looking for, you know, the crash pieces. You know, it's like, you know, and people do. And they really need to be focusing on who are they and why they're here and what's going on with their own personal lives, you know.
Well, you know, it's very, very physical, the experience, and they're looking without, and they're looking in the wrong places. They need to look, you know, within. You know, it's a big part of it, you know, that inner contact.
Yeah, exactly. That's what my contact said. The first ones were Palladian, and they told me, they said, look, if you keep looking for us with your external senses, they said, this is over, basically. They said, this experiment's over, kind of, you know. And I said, what? And they said, you have to do your spiritual practice. You have to stay focused, you know, meditate at least two or three times a day. Keep your energies clear. Keep your surrounding energies clear. You know, create a peaceful, harmonious place. And it's work, you know, to do that. It's not, you have to be really dedicated and focused. And then they said, we'll keep appearing, we'll keep working with you, but, you know, you've got to do your own, you know, work. You know, you got to do your work on your side of the fence, and we'll do ours on ours. So,
yeah, James, if I may, you know, you talk about doing work. I mean, for a guy like me, I'm relatively new to this contact stuff, even though it started back in 2010. And I used to question, well, what does that work mean? You know, how do we quantify that?
Yeah.
And really, here's how, you know, after last week, it's boiled down to this. Get your tail disconnected, get back to nature, and I know you've said this, but I just want to be very explicit here. Get away from all the technology, break yourself away, regardless of what's going on in your head, you've got to stop thinking external. And that can take a number of days. So when you talk about taking a vacation, you know, if you want to really have a true spiritual experience, disconnect from everything. Now, maybe you have some people who are better, who are connected, who can help facilitate, not lead, maybe perhaps facilitate, you know, and bring those energies in to help out. But it's, you know, it's a tough thing to go alone, you know, it's because the tendency, and I know it because I've been there, is like, where's the computer? Where's the TV? Where's the movie? You know, where's the action? You got to get away from all of that and reconnect with nature.
Yeah. You know, if people don't realize that, you know, there are frequencies being broadcasted, and, you know, they're being broadcasted through cell phones and TV screens, and you know, a lot of these devices are two-way. You know, although you may be thinking, you know, your machine's off, it's maybe monitoring you 24/7 and broadcasting, but you know, there's satellite technologies, HARP technologies, these Gwyn towers, and things like that. We're always getting bombarded by these crazy, chaotic frequencies that are keeping the consciousness down. And it's so important to find, you know, the trees are amazing. You know, you ever get into a forest, your cell phone just doesn't work.
You get right next to an ocean,
all of a sudden your cell phone doesn't work. You know, it's like and you know that you need to get out of all this psychic turbulence and get out in nature, and then really do your meditation work. And you know, if you just focus on the breath, we teach some really ancient practices here for you know, meditation and you know, channeling energy and things like that. But it's as simple as just getting out in nature and focusing on your breath. And as one of the lamas I studied with said, he said, you focus on love and joy and bliss until you become it. He said, it's really that simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And some other guidance I received that was pretty decent this week was, you get out of survivor mode, you know, survival mode, and into the creative, and clear your mind when you're in creative, and you'd be surprised at the amount of inspiration that can come to you.
Yeah. Yeah, we always talk about that there's two minds. I'm sure there's a mix of those minds, but they have creationary mind and reactionary mind. And if you're in reactionary mind, you're just reacting to your environment and the people around you, and you're reacting to your job and whatever else is happening around you. And creationary mind is you're actually creating the world in which you live. You know, it's a whole different mindset, but you have to slow down. You have to collapse time to create, and you have to slow the mind down. Mm-hmm. And that's what these ancient practices we do, is we teach people how to get out of the mind, drop down into the heart, slow everything down, and then things happen. That's when things start manifesting. But you know, and then too, when you get out of all that reactionary mind and social consciousness, you realize, you know, all those things that you're trying to manifest and create were just a program. It wasn't really what you wanted anyway. You know, so it's like that was just a program from watching years of TV and all these other things, is that when you get in touch with your soul and your own unique soul purpose, you'll find out a lot of these other things just fall away, these other desires and things, and they weren't even your desires.
Exactly. I mean, living in the heart's a great place to be once you get in there, you know, and it's opened up and you share that with others, a lot of very positive things happen, you know. Mm-hmm. You just don't care about the stuff coming through the tube or, you know, artificial substances to put into your body to help you feel something. You know, yeah. You just want to live in that bliss, as you always talk about. You know, unless you've been there, the word bliss or love or what have you probably doesn't mean much. Mm-hmm. You know, people have different meanings, but once you keep, boy, man, slow down long enough, get into it, you know, take those steps, you know, do the work as James talks about, and you'll be surprised at how good life can be, how joyful and how blissful and loving it can truly be. Mm-hmm. Then it rubs off on people, and it's very rewarding when it does.
You know, it's so important to not get into the lack and competition program, you know, and start trespassing on other people's creations and things like that. You know, when you do that, you take away your own ability to manifest and create. And if you are doing these things, like I love this movement now, the 99%, you know, and the things like that, or moving forward and saying, hey, you know, and the ones, I love the ones that are saying, hey, it's all about love, it's all about working together, it's all about sharing and harmony, you know, it's not about punishing the 1%, it's not about taking, you know, everything from the 1%, it's about, hey, you know, let's end the separation game. Let's get into unity consciousness and all work together and stop all these manufactured lack programs and enslavement through dependency programs and just this unbridled greed. And then we can all live abundantly. And that's the way nature is. I mean, nature is totally abundant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just have to come to that realization, you know, and take some action and do the work. And you know, we can get there. We just have to, you know, what are you programming for your life? You know, how do you want to live that life? You know, every decision we make every day has an impact.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing what people will do for these little pieces of paper. I mean, little they have so many energies attached to it. It equates self-worth, it equates success, it equates power, it equates all these things to them, and it's just a little piece of paper. You know, it's that somebody said's worth something, and what if nobody agreed anymore? What happens? You know, it's
sure.
You know, now you're back to basics and hard goods and, you know, food and you know, probably bicycles or whatever. I don't know.
Little tickets. Yeah, how are you doing all this work with these little tickets?
Yeah. Little fun tickets.
So you can survive.
Yeah. But, you know, I really do think, I think, unfortunately, I really want to see a transformation happen. I want to see, you know, an evolution versus revolution. But the way it's looking, it does look like there needs to be a revolution and hopefully a peaceful one. But, you know, the masses are going to have to come forward and just say, hey, look, we don't want to do the manufactured lack anymore. We don't want to be enslaved through dependency. You know, we don't want to play this game anymore. We want to bring in the clean fuelless technology and we want to, you know, get back and grow our own foods and you know, get rid of this massive debt that was falsely, you know, put upon us. And, you know, you know, that's the world I want to see. I just want to see us getting back to simplicity, getting rid of this false debt that's hanging over everybody's head, and then bringing in the technologies, the fuelless energy technologies, the new healing technologies, you know, get away from all the drugs and everything else that are going on and just get back to living a wholesome life in harmony with each other and the planet.
It's going to take a whole lot of people shifting their priorities.
Yeah. But, you know, it is happening. I heard this statement. It was amazing. This guy was channeling. He said, he came out and he says, God has a plan. And he said, God has given its best to the planet right now, you know, for these times to come. And the best are going to be awakened, and they're going to walk among the masses and awaken the masses. And he said that there's going to be a consciousness and energy behind this that no man can stop. Uh-huh. And that's basically what I see happening. Now, you know, I'm not talking about the bearded God, you know, that sits up there with a laptop and takes notes, you know, you know, but, you know,
Is that laptop now? Really?
Yeah. Or the religious gods or anything else. I'm talking about a frequency and a force and a process, an evolutionary process. And so basically I just think there is no way of stopping this. All the cultures know, the ancient cultures know that we're moving through this quantum leap in evolution, and there's no way of stopping it. And we can either do the upward spiral or the downward spiral. You know, that's the only choice we have. We can either, you know, evolve with the earth and ascend with it, or take the big dive, you know.
So what do you think's coming for 2012 there, James? I mean, you talked about ascension, you know, and moving on and up with the earth or without it. What do you think's going to happen this year?
I tell you what I believe and what I've been told is there's several things. I kind of want to throw a disclaimer in there because there's going to be as many realities as there are people happening, because people are always making choices. and they're choosing to participate in the wars and the destruction and the greed and the unconscious, you know, use of resources and things like that. So there will be those that are moving in that direction, and they're going to have a karmic backlash. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, so there are people that are going to make choices that are going to have reactions to those choices, and their reality is not going to be pretty. And then there's other people that are going to focus on the love and joy and bliss and unity consciousness and, you know, clean energy and clean environment and things like that. And those people are going to fare well because they're in the flow. They're in the evolutionary flow of creation and where this planet is going. And there's other people in the middle that are just trying to figure it out, you know, that are still willing participants in this control enslavement game, you know, and they're going to have experiences, you know. They may be out arresting people, and pretty soon they'll find themselves arrested, you know. So you know, or enslaved or whatever, as soon as they realize how screwed up things are. You know, it's going to get really interesting. And I just see, personally, I just see a mass awakening happening. I just see this awakening moving through every aspect of society. And I see some people just hanging on, you know, with a death grip to the old ways, and they're definitely not going to be doing too well through this process. And I also see the earth cleansing and healing herself and moving on. And the sun really acting up, you know, major sun activity, you know, an increase in earthquake and volcanic activity. All this stuff is coming up to a peak. And, you know, I think by November, we're going to have a real clear idea of what's happening between now and November, because we're going to see all this unfolding very quickly.
Mm-hmm. there was an article I think that you may have sent out last week about the quad poles on the sun.
Yeah,
and, yeah. That boy, I wonder what that means.
Yeah, like double. Well, you know, the sun governs everything. You shut the sun off, we're toast. I mean, it's over with here on the planet.
Yeah.
And when you have the sun shift into a quad pole sun, I mean, that is going to shift our bioelectric fields around our bodies. It's going to shift DNA. It's going to shift everything on this planet. And there's no getting away from it. So basically, you know, without a doubt, we're going to have some crazy stuff. And that's supposed to be happening this month.
Is that this month?
They're saying within the next month. You know,
that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Is what the scientists are saying. So, you know, basically, I think we're going through at least a magnetic pole shift, if not a physical pole shift as well. So we're going to be going through that same process. And that's going to really do some crazy stuff with electronics. We're already seeing it happening. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a huge energy cloud around the Earth, and it's at the equator right now, and it changes directions. And nobody can figure out what this thing is. And it's this big serpent rope, you know, up there. It's freaking out the scientists. Nobody knows what it is. We're getting bombarded with 500 major hits of energy a day. And we're moving into alignment with galactic plane. And I think this June we move into alignment with the Pleiades, the Alcyon, and so that energy stream is going to be amazing, you know, when that comes in. That's going to really exalt people to ecstatic states of bliss and higher consciousness. But it's actually going to – the people that don't want to go there are going to be – they're going to – it's all this stuff is a great amplifier. It's going to amplify whatever is within.
So there's a rope of energy around Earth right now. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there's this massive stream of energy. And, you know, there's – you can type in NASA and say that, you know, the energy – they have different names for it. I'm not sure what they call it, but they have no explanation for it. And they're calling out to all the scientists, help us understand this. It's shutting down the GPS systems. Even planes that are flying near the equator are losing their GPS. And I know stewardesses that have told me this.
Really?
They said the pilots, then they can't get it back on, and they're flying blind for a little while. Hmm. But there's a name for it, but some people call it the serpent rope. That's one of the prophecies. The rattlesnake prophecies talk about this huge energy rope that goes out and it goes off through Orion and the Pleiades and comes back to Earth. We are moving into a highly energized place in space, you know, right now that we've never been before that any of us have seen, you know, so.
Right.
Yeah, you
right.
Put all that together, and we are, you know, headed for some exciting times, basically.
Yeah, I've read about the charged plasma charged region of space that our entire solar system is kind of rolling on through, and could explain why everything's lighting up so much.
Yeah, and I just see it. It's all about frequency. You know, the people who are not frequency specific to the planet as she moves, you know, through this shift she's going through are not going to fare well. And she's going to be ascending, and your frequency is determined by, you know, your attitudes, emotions, and beliefs in the world in which you live, and by the amount of baggage that you're carrying, you know, the old wounds and traumas and things of that nature. So, you know, we got to start dumping the baggage, you know, getting, cleaning up the past, you know, the old wounds and traumas, and start really forgiving and going forward.
Yeah, this stuff that's going on all around us in space is pretty interesting. But it's funny, when I bring stuff up like this to folks, they're like, well, you know, that I don't care about that. That has nothing to do with my life.
Yeah, that's what they think.
Yeah. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, wait till they you know, wake up in the morning and there's no power.
You know? It's like, yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, I should have paid attention, you know. Or, yeah. And that's what it's going to take. That's what I'm saying. Some events have to happen because people that are totally 3D, that think they're a body and a personality, and they're seeking everything outside of themselves, you know, they're gonna have an experience, and they're going to need that experience to shock them out of that program that they're in, which is a very dense consciousness. It's not a very evolved state of being.
Well, you know, when I ask you the question, what you think is coming, it sounds like pretty much we're going to make our own shift. You know, what we expect we'll likely get. You kind of make your own bed.
Yeah. And
sleep in it.
Exactly. And, you know, there's going to be a huge acceleration in karma. I mean, the time is being compressed right now. So the time between action and reaction is being compressed. So you see these guys, they go out and they lie and they steal and they cheat and they do all this stuff, and bam, it comes back on them like immediately. And the higher the energy is, as more energy comes in, all that's going to escalate and exponentially.
Yeah.
So
nothing like instant karma.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I would hate to be a politician during these times, especially if I want to fight. Because, you know, people are going into telepathy and direct knowing, and they're sensing and feeling energies, and they're just not buying the programs anymore, you know, the dishonesty and the deception, and they're just going, sorry, I'm not going for it, you know, like, you know, your position and your suit and your tie and your Mercedes or your whatever is doesn't make you anything any bigger, any better than anybody else, you know, so, and it's like that one guy that was here, one of the religious leaders that was running around, and I think he had, I forgot how many Rolls Royces and huge planes and all these things, and I go, God, how many do you need? You know, if you're conscious, okay, if you want a nice car, one Rolls Royce, that's no problem, you know, but when you've got all these people starving and dying, and you could be helping, you know, putting in like daycare centers and things like that, you know, it's like how much money do you need, you know? You know, it's just kind of insane. But to me, I just don't see how you can have unity consciousness, but at the same time do the division thing. You know,
it does seem a little
the separation
hypocritical to be in maybe that kind of a religious role.
Yeah,
and it's almost very telling. You know, it's like, well, there it is.
Yeah.
You know, there it is what it is, you know, and
When I go down to Mexico, I go down there and you know, they don't have a lot of money down there, and there's all these people that really want to learn the stuff, you know, and they want to learn the Yigong and the other practices, and so I go down there and I teach the teachers and I teach the kids, you know, in the schools and everything, and you know, and they go, well, you know, we can't pay you, and I go, hey, you know, it's not about the money, you know, I'm doing this as a service. I really want, you know, to assist, you know, in helping these kids out, and plus I want to assist the teachers too in getting them really tapped in so they can help the kids, you know. So it's kind of a there's a lot of people just barely making it down there, and you know, and I'm not going to, you know, say, hey, it's going to be $1,000 to do this
right
you know, do this class or whatever, you know, come on, you know.
Yeah.
So it always comes to you, you know. It'll come in other ways. You know, you just have to get into the heart and go, okay, this feels right, I'm going to do it, and go from there.
Yeah, you're talking about this last trip you took just a few months ago?
Yeah, I usually go down there every year, and I go down there and connect with different groups down there and teach some classes and things like that, and you know, try to find... I'm really leaning towards finding some. There's some schools going on down there that I'd really need to plug into, and they're teaching the kids English, you know, and teaching them you know, to be multi or bilingual and things like that, because, you know, when you learn English, you're so ahead of the game down there. Your opportunities just doubled or tripled or quadrupled, you know. So I think that's really important to, you know, teach the kids how to grow their own food, teach them, you know, how to farm, you know, how to you know, cooperate, how to meditate, all that stuff, you know. And they love it. They love the airbender stuff, I call it, you know, the Yigong stuff. It's like the airbender practices. So they just really love that.
So having been raised in a religion, doesn't matter which, you get kind of the program teaching. Do you find that there's a challenge overcoming some of that kind of teaching?
Well, yeah, it's interesting because I don't really give them an image of God or and I work within, you know, like Our Lady of Guadalupe and Mary, and I work within their belief system. So I go, hey, there's just some practices, you know, that will help you connect with spirit, you know, and I just keep it really eclectic. And, you know, it's not a threat. It's amazing. You know, it's not a threat. I'm not there to take down the church or anything else. I'm just there to open up, you know, some practices and some realities and help.
Well, yeah, you know, I don't mean to throw a hardball question like that at you. It's just, you know, having been in a few churches myself, you know, I'm looking in retrospect going, you know, you hear I've had this programming since I was a child, and even now as I'm taking my spiritual walk and I'm developing my, intuitive abilities, you know, a connection, the heart, you know, living in the heart and experiencing these very real emotional connections, you know, there's always in the back of the mind that teaching that you got when you're in the church. So that's mm-hmm. the only reason I bring it up.
It's
like that ego kind of kicking in going, this isn't real, or there's something other than what at work here. And really, in the final analysis, when you assess the emotion, it's very positive and the energies are very good. Yeah. And you see how much good it can do for other people. That's all.
Well, most of churches now are down 70%. I mean, people are not, buying into the program of God outside of self and paying the go-betweens and all the other shenanigans that are going on with the major churches. So, you know, people are awakening. Unfortunately, we're out of time. We went just a little bit over, unfortunately. But, God, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. And, you know, give Ralph a big hug when you see him and the other guys. And keep us updated on any breakthroughs with this new technology.
Yeah, you bet, James. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for coming on the show. All right, stay tuned for the second half, and we'll be back soon.